You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to a special edition of MLB.com Extras postseason preview. In this corner, representing the champions of the AL East, Blue Jays reporter Gregor Chisholm, and in the opposite corner, representing the champions of the American League West, Rangers reporter T.R. Sullivan. Gentlemen, it is a pleasure to speak with you both here on this Wednesday afternoon as the clubs kick off their ALDS on Thursday at Rogers Center in Toronto. And gentlemen, keep it clean, no hitting below the belt. Have a good match. And here we go. We're off and running. Gregor, let's start with you. Simply, why will the Toronto Blue Jays win this ALDS?
Well, I think you have to start with the lineup, obviously. For this entire season, it's been the best in baseball, and they're particularly good against left-handed pitchers, which is kind of advantageous a little bit for Toronto with the matchups that the Rangers could be putting out there. But, you know, it starts with the lineup, but since the trade deadline, they've also solidified a lot of the other areas. So before, they used to be losing a lot of one-run games. They fixed a lot of those issues with the bullpen, and there's a lot more depth in the starting rotation. So they just kind of need the pitching to hold its own and keep the team in games. And then the lineup with the heart of the order with guys like Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, even if it's a short series, should be able to hold their own.
And, GR, I'm sure you know what's coming. It's your turn now. Why would the Texas Rangers win this ALDS?
Well, I think a big key is going to be game one. And you got Yovani Gallardo pitching for the Rangers against David Price, who's the Blue Jays' best pitcher. And Gallardo's beat the Blue Jays twice this year, yet to allow a run, and I think that speaks to a good right-handed pitcher going up against a dominant right-handed hitting lineup. So if the Rangers win game one, I think it's going to be a huge game for them, but basically they got to get a split here in Toronto. If they get a split here in Toronto, they go back to Texas, win one or two there, and then it's going to be Hamels versus Price for all the marbles. But if the Rangers can get in here and win game one, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the Blue Jays because they'll have used up their best start, and the Rangers' ace is still to come.
And, Gregor, let's build on that point that TR just brought up. The Blue Jays 4-2 against the Rangers this season, but each of the two losses came in Yovani Gallardo's starts. He gets the start in game one for Texas. How concerned should the Blue Jays be about that?
Well, he's definitely the kind of pitcher that, you know, it's hard to find these guys, but he's definitely the kind of pitcher who's caused the Blue Jays issues this year. And it seems like typically the Blue Jays have had better numbers against more your prototypical power guys. The guys who have a little bit more finesse, the guys who live on the corners, have been the teams who have been able to limit that batting order a little bit. But overall, the sense in the clubhouse is obviously at this time they can't be too concerned about it. But it's certainly something that, you know, they've been asked a lot of questions about, that John Gibbons had to deal with over the last couple of days. And TR is 100% correct. I mean, that game one is huge for both teams and really could tell how this series ultimately ends up going. But that type of finesse guy is something that with the occasional free swingers and guys who are going for the home runs a lot, Gallardo is someone who can cause that lineup some issues.
All right, TR, back to you. On the flip side, David Price gets the game one start for the Jays, not surprisingly. Only one start against the Rangers this season, but it was good. Six innings, two runs, eight Ks. How do you think the Ranger offense attacks the ace lefty of Toronto?
Well, they've got to get his pitch count up. They got to work the count, make him throw a lot of pitches, don't chase. This guy's not going to give up a lot of runs, but, he if he struggles a little bit early, the Rangers got to take advantage of it because once, David Price gets on a roll, this could be lights out. It's going to be lights out for a while. So the goal for the Rangers, I think, is to get his pitch count up early, make him work, get some guys on base. They're going to have to hit and run. They're going to have to bunt a little bit. I don't know if they're going to be able to run. The Rangers like to run, but it's going to be tough with Russell Martin behind the plate. So I think you'll see him bunting a little bit, hit and run, trying to do some things to create havoc on the base pass and see if they can get, Price out of there with 115, 120 pitches through the sixth or seventh inning, which is going to be tough, but that's the game plan.
And for what it's worth, Price's career ERA against the Rangers over five, even despite that good start against the Rangers here in 2015. Gregor, let's go back to you. The rest of the Blue Jay rotation shapes up to be Stroman, Estrada, then if there's a game four, R.A. Dickey. Why do they have the edge over the Ranger trio, expected trio, of Hamels, Holland, and Colby Lewis?
Well, one, advantage that they have with Marcus Stroman, kind of his miraculous comeback, once ruled out for the season with the torn ACL, wasn't expected to be back at all. he came back a lot better than anyone possibly could have expected in September. And so while at this time of year, normally you're talking about workloads and guys running into a little bit of a wall, Stroman's very, very fresh right now, essentially running into the midseason form. The fact that he's only had four starts kind of keeps him fresh going into the postseason. While he's untested there, he's unquestionably the guy with the second biggest upside after David Price in that rotation. And then after that, you've got Marco Estrada, who really kind of redefined his career this year, was kind of an afterthought when he was acquired during the offseason. But he's really kind of put things together in a lot of ways. Kind of as we were talking about Gallardo before, he's a guy who kind of lives on the corners and can have that finesse side to him as well. So those are the three key guys. And then if it ultimately gets to R.A. Dickey, I mean, this is a moment that he's been waiting for a long time. Hasn't had this opportunity before. And anytime at this time of year, the knuckleball can be very unpredictable. You don't sometimes know what you're going to get from start to start. But his second half kind of speaks for itself. And he put a very rough first half behind him, and he's been pretty much lights out dating back the last couple of months.
Okay, TR, same question, just flips around. Of course, Cole Hamels not available for Game 1 because he pitched on Sunday in Game 162, recovering from that tough first inning to go the distance in that division-clinching win for the Rangers. State your case for him, Derek Holland, and Colby Lewis.
Well, the biggest thing about those three guys is that they've been in postseason and they've done very well. Colby Lewis, when the Rangers went to the two World Series in 2010, 2011, Colby Lewis was their best pitcher. That said, Derek Holland's shut out in Game 4 of the 2011 World Series of the Cardinals. It's probably the biggest, best pitch game in Rangers history. And we all know Cole Hamels was the MVP of the NLCS and the World Series. Of course, that was 6 years ago. But the point is, these guys have been in the playoffs before. They've handled it well. They've pitched well. I think experience is going to be a big key for the Rangers starting pitching in the series.
Okay, Gregor, let's go back to you, talk a little offense. Now, the Jays' offense, of course, second to none in the majors this season, but playoff baseball traditionally dominated by pitching and defense, as we've seen time and again. What gives you confidence? This is something you've touched on a little bit already, but what gives you confidence that the high-scoring Jays can play this brand of baseball here in October?
Yeah, and I don't think there's any question that the production is going to dip a little bit just because the pitching that they're going to be up against. But to score the runs that might be needed to win, I mean, you look at the overall depth inside that lineup. There's very different dynamic approaches within that. I mean, you don't need to have everyone firing all cylinders in order to come through and still put up a lot of runs. I mean, if you have a few guys in that lineup who are coming through, they should still be able to put up pretty good numbers. I mean, it obviously starts at the top of that order after Ben Revere with Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista, and Encarnacion. But the bottom half of that lineup has been, kind of unsung heroes for the Blue Jays this year, too. And they give a little bit of a different look with Kevin Pillar and Ryan Goins at the very bottom of that order being able to manufacture some runs, hit and runs. They don't play a lot of small ball, but sometimes they do lay down bunts at the bottom of that order to kind of turn things around at the top. And even in the second half of that order, you've got guys like Russell Martin, who's a proven playoff performer as well. So the fact that they have so many weapons to go with, he probably gives the club some confidence that even if a couple guys don't come through, that there will be other ones willing to, and ready to kind of step up.
And TR, to you now, it seems like we've waited almost two full years to see a fully healthy Ranger lineup. Guys like Prince Fielder had the ailment last year. You've got guys like Adrian Beltre, youngsters like Rougned Odor. It seems like 1 through 9, they are finally fully healthy. Give us your take on this Ranger offense and the damage they can do here in this series.
I'll tell you one thing. When you get into the playoffs, if you're expecting to win a playoff series by hitting a lot of home runs, it generally is not going to happen. I've seen Rangers offenses come into the playoffs just loaded with just unbelievable firepower, and they've just fallen flat on their faces. So to be a good offense in the playoffs, you got to be able to do more than just try to hit the ball out of the ballpark. You got to be able to hit and run. You got to have some speed. You got to be able to bunt. You got to be able to string together some tough at bats. You got to be able to hit with runners in scoring position. I think hitting with runners in scoring position is going to be huge in this series, more than the home run. I think it's not going to be the team that hits the most home runs. It's going to be the team that hits with the highest with runners in scoring position.
And, Gregor, let's go back to you now. Talk about the postseason experience factor or lack thereof. It seems like the Jays, even though they have a lot of veteran presence on this team, not a lot of veteran playoff experience. Does that at all concern you heading into this series?
It's experience certainly helps at this time of the year, and there's no question that just because of the Jays, really haven't had, it's been 22 years, and obviously the roster is completely turned over, but there are a lot of guys who haven't experienced it. Primarily you're looking at some of the key players like Batista and Encarnacion who are going through this for the first time. But I think, what the Blue Jays were able to do during the offseason and then again at the trade deadline, address some of those issues. You're bringing in guys like Josh Donaldson, who's been there before. Russell Martin seems to be there every year, no matter what team he is with. And then David Price, even though he hasn't had quite the kind of success that he would like in the postseason, I think that's an extra motivating factor for him, especially heading into free agency. I think he knows all the doubts and all the questions that have been asked of him. And he also knows that, the sample size over the years is kind of a little small for him as well in that regard. So I think he's looking to kind of come out and prove a point. So it's not a completely inexperienced squad. It's not like all these guys came up together and have been together for the last 10 years not being able to make it. They kind of do have a nice mix of guys who are going through it for the first time and then guys who have been there before.
And then, TR, to you now, it seems like the Rangers, of course, they certainly do have some postseason experience on their side. You're talking about guys like Prince Fielder, Adrian Beltre, and, of course, Cole Hamels. You've touched on this before with Hamels winning a World Series with the Phillies years ago. How big of a factor can that be for the Rangers in this series?
Well, when you look at Prince Fielder, he has a lot of postseason experience, and it's not very good. I mean, he has not been a good postseason hitter, so experience can go the other way. You got a guy who's, has that hanging over his head. I think, again, it goes back to game one. If the Blue Jays win game one with David Price on the mound, they'll have all the postseason experience they need. Okay? If they win game one, I think the Rangers won't panic as much as maybe the Blue Jays might if they lose game one. If the Blue Jays lose game one, you might see that lack of experience show up. If they win that, I think they'll be feeling really confident. If the Rangers lose game one, I think they'll be okay because they've lost it before. I remember in 2011, they lost to Tampa Bay 9-0 in the first game of the division series, and they came back to win the next three. So I think that's where experience is going to play into this, is how the two teams react to what happens in game one.
As we begin to wrap up here, gentlemen, we all know about the marquee names in the series on both sides. We've gone over them at length just here in this podcast. I want each of you, though, to give me an under-the-radar player, so to speak, who you feel could have a major impact on the series. And, Gregor, we'll start with you.
I think it's Brett Cecil. And, John Gibbons kind of joked yesterday that, if things go their way, he thinks Brett Cecil's probably going to be the most overworked guy in the postseason. And he really is their key left-hander out of the bullpen. And you look at this Rangers lineup, there is an awful lot of good left-handed hitters. And outside of Cecil, the Blue Jays have had some issues with that in the bullpen. Their primary setup guy over the last couple of months was Aaron Sanchez. He sort of lost that role midway through September, and one of the reasons why is because he's been struggling against lefties. And so they've gone to Cecil more and more in that eighth inning. I think there's even a scenario where if he's not used and up until then, that instead of going to Roberto Osuna right off the top in the ninth, if there's a situation where Prince Fielder or Shin-Soo Choo or someone like that is due up in the ninth, they might even go to Cecil in that situation. He's someone that you're going to see in every single close ball game of this series, and he's going to have some very, very high leverage innings. His success could go a long way to determining how the Blue Jays do.
And, TR, same question to you. One under-the-radar guy that can make an impact for Texas.
I'm right there with Greg on this one. From the Rangers' standpoint, it's going to be their right-handed setup reliever. I mean, he's exactly right. Brett Cecil's going to be big for the Blue Jays because of the Rangers' left-handed hitters. Look at Dyson. He's a power sinker, right-handed pitcher who pitched seventh, eighth inning. This is a guy who's going to have to come in and get, the big boys, Batista and Encarnacion and Donaldson. So I think, setup relief is going to be huge in this series as well.
And just to wrap up here, of course, Gregor, we know you're partial to the Blue Jays, TR partial to the Rangers, obviously. I'm going to ask you both how many games this series goes. Not a lot of options. It's either 3, 4, or 5. Gregor, what's your guess?
I think it's going 5. I think these two teams are very evenly matched. You're talking about the two hottest teams in the American League dating back to the trade deadline. I can easily see this series going at least 4, and I would not be surprised at all if we head back here to Rogers Center in Toronto for game 5 as well.
And TR, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I don't see the Rangers losing two games here in Toronto, not with Gallardo and Hamels on the mound. and then go back to Arlington, split two there, and let's wrap this up with Cole Hamels and David Price in a big game five. I think that's the way we need to finish this series up.
It is going to be a fantastic series, which kicks off on Thursday with game one at Rogers Center between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Texas Rangers. My thanks to both Blue Jays reporter Gregor Chisholm and Rangers reporter T.R. Sullivan. This is Matt Waymire signing off for MLB.com Extras postseason preview.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.